Acts 17. You know, I'm just going to talk to you a minute. I talked to the staff about this morning. I'll get to the verse in just a minute. We were in it. It goes along with the Korean presentation from South Korea tonight. We were in Torreon, and this is my second trip to Torreon, my wife's first. And it was good to see the brothers and sisters down there again. They're doing a good job. It is it's not the poorest area of Mexico, neither is the richest. Torreon has some rich people, Mexico standards, okay? And it has a lot of poverty, and the church is one of the more poverty sections of town. Somebody said, did you get to do anything? We got to go to a museum on Saturday. I spoke 7 times, 3 days. My wife spoke 3 times. And so we were busy with that, busy with the conference. But we did get to go to see this house. This castle was turned into a museum, not really a castle, just a big house, turned into a museum. And it was the guy that built it was from Germany, and he was the architect for the street system in Torreon. And I don't know exactly how it happened, but he designed it in feet, and they converted the feet to meters. Like he wrote like 5 feet on the blueprints, but they interpreted it as 5 meters. Well, a meter is 3 times, 2 times bigger than a foot. A meter is 3 inches bigger than a yard. Well, a foot's 12 inches. So what he designed to be 12 inches, they built 39 inches? Okay, but he did it in feet. That's 12 inches. A foot is 12 inches. Okay, but anyway, bottom line, the roads are huge. They're huge. You could drive like 4 cars side by side down all the roads. They're like a 2-lane highway, 4-lane highway, all throughout town. It's incredible. And I said, does this cut down on the number of accidents? He said, no. And so we're going through the street, and there's this red sign, you know, and I can't read it, but I said, is that a stop sign? He said, well, yeah. He said, here's more of a suggestion. So we never stopped at one stop sign the whole time. He didn't take their suggestion ever. But anyway, so we went to see this. So this German architect built this house. And the bandito, Pancho Villa, came into Torreon with a bunch of banditos and stole the house from him. So we got to go see this house that Pancho Villa lived in because he stole it from a guy. But anyways, that was Mexico's type of museum. So, you know, we did get to do that Saturday morning. But so we were riding in the car, and I forget what day it was, and we were with his son who started the church 45 minutes away from Dad's church, and they combined the churches for the conference, and the son works in the school. They have a small school, about 16, 18, 20 people, kids, their kids in the school. And he just got to talking, and he just started, you know, he just said, Brother Angel, he said, you know, he said, the school is tough. He said, the kids don't like the rules sometimes, and the parents don't like the rules because the kids change the parents. The parents don't like the rules. And then, you know, he said, so they pull them out because of this. And then, you know, we get hit because supposedly our academics are at inferior to the other school's academics. And then, you know, people have trouble with their tuition and they get behind and they feel embarrassed. So they want to pull their kids out. And he's talking all these problems in Torreon, Mexico. And I'm just sitting in the passenger seat thinking, check. Check, check, check. And I told staff this morning, I said, folks, people's problems are the same everywhere you go. There's a reason for that. In Acts 17, Paul's in the city of Athens. He sees the altar in verse 23 on Mars Hill there to the unknown God. His spirit is stirred in him, and he begins to preach, street preach there in Athens on Mars Hill. Now, you're in Greece, okay? We're talking about Greece here. And he says in verse 24, God that made the world, him therefore, verse 23, him therefore, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And here it is, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Listen very carefully. There is no such thing as a white race, a black race, a brown race, a red race, a yellow race. There is one race. It's called the human race. The human race. You'll find the word race mentioned four times in the Bible. All four times it's talking about a competitive athletic event. It has nothing to do with the color of a person's skin. You won't find the word races. You don't find the word racial. Far too much is made of that in our day and age. There's one blood. There's one race. That's the human race. Adam is the head of the human race. And he fell. And when he fell, all the human race fell. And by the way, when he said here in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, what Paul was doing through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he was just pounding away at the very core of the Greek, the Athenians' belief. You talk about Hitler's Aryan society, this is what they thought. They were superior. You know, if you weren't a Greek, you were a barbarian. And the barbarian, really, if you look at, I think it's Romans chapter 1, the word barbarian there is actually a capital B, which makes it a proper noun. So that's talking about a group of people by that name. The people on the islands of Melita, on the island of Melita in Acts 28, when Paul shipwrecked, he said the barbarians came and cared for them, kindled a fire, and cared for them, brought them food. So it's a little bit different than our term barbarian today, but the Greeks thought, you know, if you weren't one of them, then, you know, you were an inferior race, you were an inferior people, they were the superior folks and even though the world was ruled by Rome, it was still dominated by Grecian culture during the Roman Empire. So the books and the writing and all the culture was really influenced by the Greeks that had been previously a world empire before Rome. So it was still the Grecian influence was all through the Roman Empire. And you're in the heart of it here, in the city of Athens, in the country of Greece, and you got these people who have this superior mindset that they, you know, they're this Aryan society, to use a term more familiar to us, that's better than everybody else, and that's just not the truth. There is no inferior human being. We're all, he hath made of one blood, all the net. Now, without getting into it in depth tonight, hold on, that doesn't mean then just throw the care away and everybody just intermarry and do everything you want to. Look at the rest of verse 26. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. Habitation, God set them in places. God put them in countries, set the boundaries. I'm not going to go into all that tonight. But folks, there, you look, every problem that brothers said they were having with their Christian school, we have been through it. Are going through it, will continue to go through it. It's because it's the same. People's problems are the same everywhere you go. I preached a message on the family. It was a family conference. And the invitation Sunday night, it was very tender. This little elementary school girl, I was sitting on the front row. She was in the altar. And she got up and she sat down on the front bench. There's not pews. It's benches, hard backs, just a little bit of about 2 inches of foam to sit on is what they got. Ceiling fans. It was 105 degrees Sunday. But they packed the place out. And she's sitting there, this little fifth or sixth grade girl, just weeping. The tears are coming. She's just sobbing. And I can't speak her language. There's very little English there. Only one or two people in the whole church that could understand English. And that was very broken. You're in the heart of Mexico, Coahuila, and very few English speaking people there. And so the pastor's daughter, Consuela, speaks a little broken English, and I got her attention. She was at the altar, and I got her attention. I pointed to the girl, and afterwards, Francisco Jr. told me the story. He said the reason that girl was so upset tonight was you mentioned in your message about kids who go away from God, end up paying the price for it, and they have an older brother who's left church and left home, and he's paying the price for it. She's heartbroken. People's problems are the same everywhere. Everywhere you go. And that's because we're made of one blood. And our head fell. And when he fell, the whole human race, which eventually became black, yellow, white, okay? Eventually came that. The whole human race fell. But there is no ethnicity anywhere who is superior to any other ethnicity. None. And you deem and you estimate the value of every man's soul by one thing and one thing only. And that's not the size of his house. It's not the size of his bank account. Not the type vehicle he drives. Not the type job he can do. That's not how his worth is measured. It's not measured by the color of his or her skin. There is one qualification or one measurement that you use to value the worth of every soul, and that's this, that God gave His own Son to die for that soul. That makes every soul equal in value. No matter what color the pigment, what pigmentation the color of the skin is. And I'm not for the complete integration of the races. You've heard me preach and teach on that before. But to suggest that there's a superior race of people, this color, or that color, is to go against what the Bible teaches. There's one race, it's the human race. Every human being is fallen. Every human being, God thought worthy enough to send His Son to die for. And every human being can be saved if they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we vote to send Brother Brown to Busan. Did I say that right? South Korea. 3.6 million people. I was paying attention to the statistics. 8.1 out of every 10 are some kind of atheist or Buddhist or Oriental false religion in that city. Now you think about that. That's massive. Massive lost people that God deemed worthy enough to give His Son to die for. And we have the opportunity through some people tonight, and folks that didn't raise their hand, not down on you, but because some folks did commit to a little extra, we can partner with this couple to go to South Korea and reach part of the human race. The need is not necessarily greater because they're South Koreans. He said it the first part of his testimony, didn't he? Everywhere you go, there's a need for a missionary. Because there's lost people everywhere. I saw it down in Torreon again. My heart was touched for those people. I feel no burden. I feel a burden. I don't feel any call to go to Mexico. I believe I'm where God has me. I'm not planning to change bases, any of that stuff. But it does touch your heart to go to these places and see these people who have less than we have. Materially, and in some cases, have had less opportunity to hear the gospel than we've heard. And folks, please, I'm not bashing you tonight, but these people, they're hungry. I can't put it any other way. They're just hungry for help. They're hungry for help. And, you know, I think I made the young man feel better by saying, well, brother, everything you mentioned, we've dealt with at our school. Everyone, 100%. And he's looking at me. Because, you know, here's this Americano, this preacher who comes from America, that within the independent Baptist churches in America has a little bit of notoriety. They know our church. They know this, the Old Faith Baptist Church. And you mean you got the same problems we do? Yep. Check every one of them off the list. Same problems. That's because of this verse right here. Hath made of one blood all nations of men. The human race needs to be redeemed. And that's what this brother's going to do. And they need the preaching of God's Word. And that's what they're doing down there. And Brother Cuellar, he told me, listen, I don't take a love offering from this. He brought a little envelope. I don't take anything for this. This is all just service. Okay? We bought the tickets from the points on our church credit card. The only thing they put into the meeting, they put my wife and I up in a motel. And he said, would you like a motel or would you like to stay with a family? And I didn't feel bad saying I'd like a motel. I've taken my ladle baths, okay? I've done that in the Philippines. And unfortunately, there's more to ladle now than there used to be. But anyway, So you think it was tough on me. Brother Gomez was with me. So, man, he emptied the bucket, man. It's gone. But anyway, oh, mercy. I need the new Brother Gomez to go on a trip with now. He's the slimmed down version, amen. But anyway, so I got nothing financially out of this trip whatsoever. It's sheer a labor of love for those people that we've crossed paths with. And he told me, he said, please tell your church, thank you for letting you come. Thank you for using the credit card miles. And folks, I mean, you have to be there to feel the sincerity of it. They're just grateful. They're grateful. So thank you. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight and being here. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. For some reason, this is the twist, the direction you put on this service tonight. Thank you again for our missionary brother and his wife. Bless them. Thank you for the opportunity our young people had to serve the elementary kids. Lord, I hope they had a great time. And I pray that you'll bless us, Lord, please. To be of the mindset, Lord, there's no inferior person, there's no superior person. There are people who need the Lord. Help us to keep that in mind. In Jesus' name.